This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
There was more there in business and the economy than just the NSA story this week. Jobs as a good start. Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville is in New York to help wrap things up for us. And Neela Richardson from Bloomberg Government is down in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. Hey, guys.
Hi, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
All right, so Neela, let's go jobs report first. Two-word answer, please. Is this jobs report good news or bad news?
It's mediocre.
No. That was, first of all, that was three words, and that was not one of the choices.
It's good news for the markets. It's bad news for the long-time trends, and particularly the middle class. What we saw was an uptick and a trend holding with the number of part-time jobs created. So the headline should be, markets are happy, economy creates a lot of crummy jobs.
Ooh, all right, interesting. Cardiff, good news or bad news?
Good news-ish, if news-ish is a word. You know, I found the report comforting, I think, is the right word, because it shows that, once again, it's a second straight report that shows that we are not going into a kind of mid-year swoon, and it's happening despite the fact that earlier this year taxes went up a little bit, despite the fact that the government's spending less money right now because of the sequester, and despite the fact that there's some uncertainty about what the Federal Reserve is going to do later in the year. So it's no reason to get complacent, but I'd say good news-ish.
Kai, I would just have to disagree with my esteemed colleague here. I think that if you look behind the headline numbers, the actual 175,000 jobs, you'll see that a lot of those jobs created were in low-wage sectors. You'll also see that wage growth hasn't really changed your over year. In fact, average wage growth is not keeping up with inflation. And finally, what you'll see is that the economy for three straight months in the row hasn't added manufacturing. I think all of these point to a trend that shows a really slow growth environment for the American worker.
All right. Hang on a second. There's two things I want to pick up on that, Neela. The first is, isn't any job better than no job?
Absolutely. Any job is better than no job.
All right. But I mean, I get your point about poor quality jobs, however,
Right, right. But the thing is, can any job sustain a robust economy? Right. And that's what the Federal Reserve is going to be looking at. Beyond the headline numbers of 175,000 jobs created, are these jobs robust enough? Do they have the benefits and the wages that will ensure that the American consumer stays in the game? Remember, 70% of economic growth is based on the American consumer having a good job.
So let's talk about the Fed for a second, and then I'm going to get Cardiff in on this. But what do you think the Federal Reserve is going to do now? Status quo, stay the course, or are they going to start messing around and doing this taper thing that everybody's talking about? Neela, go ahead.
Oh, I think that the Fed is looking for sustained improvement beyond the headline numbers. Now, you'll see that economists are saying that about 200,000 jobs over a four-month period would do the trick and force the Fed to start tapering. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that they're going to look beyond that headline number. They're going to look at wage growth. They're going to look at hourly wages. They're going to look at the American consumer and to see if they're in a position, not just the markets, but the consumers in a position to start easing off on that gas pedal in terms of asset prices.
Cardiff, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the Fed might surprise everybody and wait a little longer than they think before stepping on the brakes. And in part, because of a lot of what Neela just said. I mean, I think she and I actually agree on more than she thinks. I was emphasizing the ish earlier. You know, it's you got to finesse this a little bit. It's a matter of perspective. But she's right. It's no reason to get complacent.
All right, let's dip quickly into this whole NSA story thing. And Cardiff, let me ask you whether you think any of these companies that have been named, and let's say it again, they deny participating, is there peril for them commercially? Commercially in any of this?
You know, I think they're in pretty safe places in the American market, in part because of the network effects that you just talked about. A lot of people use these companies, use these online products because everybody else does, and it's very hard to overturn that. But you can definitely see a situation where the reputational damage that's inflicted on them could have an impact in foreign markets where they have some competition, and those other companies can then say, well, hey, listen, we might not be as big as these American companies, but at least with us, you know that we're not going to be giving away your information to the government. So that's where I think it might be a problem.
Neela, quickly, what do you think? Peril or no peril?
I think there is peril overseas, as Cardiff just stated. I think the EU, they may have already violated some EU privacy laws, and so that story will unfold in the coming days. And if there is an option overseas that means that Uncle Sam won't look at your pictures over the weekend, maybe that would be a good option to take if you're a foreigner.
All right. Neela Richardson from Bloomberg Government down in Washington. Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville in New York. Have a good weekend, you guys. We'll see you.
Thanks, Kai.
You too.
Bye-bye.